Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
Boland checks over at first and delivers. And Turner gets under that one, sends it to left field, and that one is gone. And Turner gets under another one, sends it to left field, and it's out of here. Justin Turner, for the second time in this ballgame, launches one, and he gives Toronto the 3-2 lead.
Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it!
Murray has it on the high right side. High pick from Jokic. Murray, jumper from 8. Got it again! 3.6 seconds left for the Lakers. LeBron over to Prince. Jumper's no good at the horn. And the L.A. Lakers can take that L on the way out.
And now, about ready to literally dive into a taco salad, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us as we are on the road today. One of our favorite spots at Cinco de Mayo, Rancho Grande. What a fantastic spot. All the Rancho Grandes. Happy to take care of you. Come on, celebrate like it's Cinco de Mayo today. Can you think of anything better than a little Mexican food right now?
That's the great thing about this week is that you're well within your rights in any court of law, opinion, legality. Just be Cinco de Mayo every single day.
Curtis, you got to fight for your right
to
Corona
party.
And Rancho. That's what you got to do.
Rancho.
501 Northwest Jefferson Street. We're on the outer road here on I-70 in Blue Springs. You can come down and join us if you would like. Of course, all the Ranchos be happy to celebrate a little Cinco de Mayo with you early or on Sunday. Whatever works for you. Parkville, Liberty, Blue Springs. Take advantage. And all three locations have dollar off on the Corona bottles.
Here's how great this place is, what a legend it is in this town. The people who come here, they just call it Rancho.
Yes.
I mean, it's such an institution that it's Rancho.
Rancho.
Go to Rancho.
You can come on down. Three locations celebrating Cinco de Mayo a little bit early. Now until 6 o'clock, dollar off on the Coronas, so take advantage of that. The whole family of Coronas, Curtis.
All of them. Every of the members of the family.
Yes.
That's an extensive family, too.
Yeah. So we'd love to see you. Come by, tip a couple, and say hello to the program. We've already said hello to a couple friends that have, joined us for a little late lunch.
Yeah.
We'll be here all the way up. You can stop on by and enjoy live music at all three locations for Cinco de Mayo. They will be having a festive atmosphere.
Love it.
To say the least.
Love it.
Parkville, Erica McKenzie from noon to 2:30, and Chris Stewart starting at 3:30. Blue Springs, that's Travis Marvin.
There you go.
Starting at 4:30, and Patrick Woolham starting at 3 o'clock. So take advantage of it. Giveaways all day. Great specials on the import bottles all day. Don't forget, they cater everything. Weddings, graduations, anything that needs great catering, they got you covered at Rancho Grande. Learn more at RanchoGrandeCantina.com. You can check them out on Instagram, Facebook, as well as their website to check out the daily specials. Curtis just said, yes, I'll take it.
I'll take all of them.
Yes. You know, yes, I will have them. You know, so.
Just line them up and drop them off one at a time.
I look forward to seeing what that looks like. Right? But don't forget, fantastic catering. Mother's Day, don't forget about Mom, coming up on May 12th. They're going to feature 550 strawberry margaritas, $2 off fajitas. That's pretty good. If Mom loves Mexican, not a bad idea.
Who doesn't, really?
I can't eat Mexican every meal of every day.
I don't know. I'll be 58 in July. I don't know that I've ever met someone who didn't love Mexican food.
And great locally owned and operated Rancho Grande. Always a big part of the community. You can compete in their Rancho's Wiffle Ball Tournament. It benefits Alzheimer's Association. That is on September 21st. Just go to RanchoGrandeCantina.com for more information on signing up. That's RanchoGrandeCantina.com. And you can sign up. Play a little wiffle ball.
Ah, the days. The days when I was a wiffle ball star.
Do you have nasty break?
No, I was much of a pitcher. I can hit though.
Really?
Yeah, I could swing the
could swing the plastic?
Yeah, the yellow plastic bat is better than the.
Yeah. Are you
going back to?
Are you all pull on that too?
Oh yes. Are you kidding? Would I be anything but?
You literally could line everybody up on a softball field down the left field line.
Yes.
And you'd make most of your outs on Curtis by running into foul territory.
Yes. If you could put everyone between shortstop and third base, just draw a line from the home plate to the shortstop, everyone to their left, and I still can't hit the ball to center field. Save my life.
No.
Doesn't matter where it's pitched. Pole.
That would seem to be a fundamental problem.
Yes, and one that you'd think you could figure out in softball. But no.
No.
Never did.
Not going to happen. Well, we'd love to see you here at Rancho Grande. If you can come see us today, that would be great. We'd love to see you here. We're in Blue Springs, 501 Northwest Jefferson Street. Stop on by and say hello. We're just on the outside of I-70. Very easy to get to. And, of course, this is the baby of the bunch.
Yeah.
16, 17 years. 17? 17 years. Baby Rancho. It's about ready to graduate high school.
So not even old enough to drink the margaritas that it sells.
Not yet. No.
They can sell it, but they can't.
Yeah.
The restaurant itself cannot drink it.
The restaurant cannot drink the margaritas that they sell. Cannot drink the Corona Special today.
That's funny.
No. But that's saying something. When you've been in business that long.
Yes.
So go see them wherever it is. If you can get by here to see us, we'd love you to stop on by. But Parkville, Liberty, Blue Springs, they got you covered today. They got you covered every day. They certainly have you covered on Cinco de Mayo coming up on Sunday. Now, we got a lot to get to today. Tim Grunhardt's going to join us.
He is.
Okay. I didn't know if there's a reaction.
Oh no. It's
always great to see Timmy. Yay.
Hoping he leaves some for the rest of us.
Timmy's such a fitness freak these days.
Oh, that's probably true.
Probably wear out the wait staff.
He'll just order just the chicken. Just a chicken on a bed of lettuce, please.
I'm scrambling all day. It's a chicken fajita taco salad. Spectacular.
Looks damn good.
With the like salsa ranch. Mm-hmm. What do they call that? Spicy ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Chicken
it's
is so good.
Ranch.
Peppers, the onions.
The grill peppers look amazing.
They are amazing.
They're perfectly done.
They are amazing. It is fantastic. So come on out. The food is always great. That's why they've been open for so long. The people are just as good as the food. Great Kansas City company. Come see us. Tim Grunhardt will be here in the 3 o'clock hour. Sam McDowell in the 4. Columnist for the Kansas City Star. We'll find out what he thinks about Kansas throwing their hat in the ring.
Yes.
No, just
come
literally, there. I
over.
Guess, boxing or no.
Yeah.
Kansas making it official in a story that, we're looking at Starbonds to build some facilities for professional sports teams. Football, baseball, basketball, hockey. NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, specifically right now targeting
the Royals and Chiefs. Why not?
I love the line. Where was it? We've been working on some sort of a solution for them for some time now without their involvement. We just want to be sure that we have the right plan for when the time is right for us to start those negotiations. This is according to Representative Sean Tarwater from Stillwell. He chairs the House Commerce, Labor, and Economic Development Committee in Kansas.
Man, we have talked to you before on this very program.
Yes.
A few years back.
Talked about sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
That's now happening. They're talking about star bonds, which are what basically built the racetrack. And interested in both the Royals and Chiefs. Do you believe that the interest will be mutual?
More so maybe now than before April 2nd. I think it could be mutual. I think when the chairman and CEO of the team says we may have to look at not being at Arrowhead and building a new stadium and maybe a dome stadium, when he says all the options are on the table, I think the door is certainly open there. I don't think he has to knock too hard.
100% of the project would be paid for with the bonds, up to 30 years on the bonds. A $1 billion minimum investment would be required. At least a 30,000-seat stadium required. So Kauffman would be 30,000-plus, a Royal Stadium, if that's the direction they went. A $1 billion minimum investment. No problem on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because projections now on a state-of-the-art dome stadium would be $3 billion. So no problem.
Yeah.
Hitting the minimums. Right?
But Clark Hunt saying dome stadium for the first time that I've ever heard him say this week was notable.
Says here, and maybe Sam will have a little more insight on this, local government would not have to pledge their share of sales tax revenue within the Star Bond district toward repaying the bond. A sharp break from the typical Star Bond districts. Taxes on the sales of alcohol would also go toward repaying the bond. That'll take about a week, I think, to pay off the stadium, the way people like their booze. You know what I mean?
Yep, especially on a Sunday.
You know, but it is, listen, the game is afoot. And I think now you're going to get the best offer from Jackson County. I think it's clear now that if you're standing in the way in Jackson County and there are people that want to keep the stadiums, mm-hmm. want to pay for them, you're going to be in trouble with those folks.
Yep.
But there is legitimate competition.
And I would imagine the Chiefs and Royals are going to court this, if for no other reason than to get a better deal from Jackson County. Why would they go, we're not really sure. I'm not saying that if they show interest, it's not completely legitimate. But there's going to be public expression of interest in these plans when they come out, if for no other reason than to make sure Jackson County ups its game a little bit.
I don't know if this will actually be the one that hits the books, but it shows that they're ready to go. They've been looking at it. They've been watching. They've been knowing that they would have an opportunity if the first one failed, and now they're ready to strike. And my question would be, by the way, phone lines are open at 913-3810-810. My question would be, if you're in Jackson County, do you want to be relieved of some of the burden of paying for all the professional sports, or at least the two biggest professional sports teams in our city?
Yeah, I think there's probably three possible schools of thought from a Jackson County, having the teams in Jackson County and them having to pay for it, having the teams in Jackson County and them not having to pay for it, which is ideal for them,
right,
or them not having to pay for it, but them going over to Kansas. I think the one in the middle, obviously, is the one they don't want, but would they rather pay for it or not pay for it and have it not be here? I think that's an interesting tightrope to walk, because if you're going to say, hey, we're not paying for your stuff, you really can't be too mad if they go somewhere else and say, all right, well, they will. We found a deal over here. We gave you guys an opportunity to help us out and foot a lot of the bill on this, and you chose not to, so we're going somewhere else.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what the timeline is. I mean, Clark Hunt said we'll review all things. Well, what is the timeline? For the Royals, it seems to be quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So do the Royals look at Kansas, or do they look at, you know, we've talked to Sam, and again, he'll be with us in the 4 o'clock hour, that he thinks there'll be a new proposal led more by Kansas City, Missouri, than Jackson County. Okay. Well, how quick do you have to get that up there? Because if Kansas can put together a real proposal, put it in front of the Royals, then they say, well, we're not waiting years.
Yeah.
Right? So this should expedite the process.
I would hope that those who were involved in that process expected a counter from Kansas and already had that idea in foot. I would hope that they didn't see the story last night and this morning and go, oh, crap, we got to get something going. My guess would be they've anticipated this and they're that's already in the works.
You know, Curtis,
it better have been.
I found if you hope in one hand and pile other things in the other hand,
yes,
go ahead and see which one fills up faster.
Usually it's the other hand.
Yeah.
Yep. usually fills up pretty quickly.
But, I mean, listen, you know, I don't know. People to me seem pretty reserved in what their opinions are. Right? Like, I don't feel like there's – do you feel like there's a consensus of what Jackson County wants?
No. Not really.
I don't either.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's because they don't want to commit too far in one direction in case the variables change and they have to change and therefore look like they're – does it weaken your position if you've – if it's a brand-new position? I mean, there's a lot of – that's a lot of that in politics all over the place. And most politicians kind of say as much as they have to because if they if something changes, they have to kind of reverse. They won't seem like flip-floppers. I think there's a lot of that involved, but it certainly has been involved all over this issue.
Do you believe that there is a consensus out of people in Kansas?
Harder to measure because I haven't – they haven't voted on something recently. A consensus in Kansas that they'd want to pay?
That they want to go get the teams.
Want to go get the teams? No, not really.
I don't think so either because I don't think they have any idea, really. It's been so long since the racetrack and that whole area was built. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody really understands star bonds.
Right.
And what it means. Well, what does it mean to my bottom line?
Yes.
Like, would I want the teams? Like, I think everyone who would be closer to driving there will say, yes, we want them.
And even after they read about them, they're probably still going, wait a minute. Can someone explain this again to me? How does this – it's easy to get – there's so much out there, and you're just kind of like, I think I know what that means. I have a decent idea, but its actual impact on me over a 10-year span, I can't tell you that I know what that would be as a Kansas resident.
Right, and so I think it's interesting. The game's afoot. We'll see where – you know, where it goes from here. But I think it's significant, and it means that there's, you know, Missouri needs to get, Jackson County, Kansas City, Missouri, needs to put their best foot forward because Kansas is ready to enter the fray.
Yep.
I will highlight again the line where it says, well, without their involvement, the Chiefs and Royals have gone out of their way to say, we have not talked to anybody from Kansas. I can tell you on or off the record, nobody in Kansas on the political side. Everyone I talked to, we haven't talked to them. That has been a definitive point because the Rams got sued, I think, for like $800 million,
yep, $900
million. $780 million because of their conversations with California. I don't know how that works, though. Is it like, well, we can't wait till the lease is up and have no place to play? We're not going to play in Sacramento.
Right.
So like, if you can't talk until the lease is up, then...
how do you do this?
Yes, if you're going to leave, right? And if you're Jackson County, and what, do you want them to wait till 2031, then start talking to Kansas? And then do what? Try to charge them for where it is? Where would you play? So at some point you decide, well, we have to have a place to play. The Chiefs aren't, I don't think, although the Chargers did, I don't think going to play in a soccer stadium. Not with their kind of
no
season ticket base.
No. And yeah, the Chargers going to a city that didn't care about them is the polar opposite of where the Chiefs are in this town.
Yeah. So, you know, there are a lot of details if they would leave Jackson County, if they would leave Kansas City, Missouri, on how to get there. I'm not sure. There might be a simple solution. No, you have to give them first chance. If they vote and it fails, then they can talk to whoever. I don't know. These are, again, the details. We'll find out if Kansas does details any better than Missouri. Because the Missouri details were non-existent.
Yes.
913-310-810, the phone number, 913-310-810. You can hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Seren Petro. Royals lose last night, but battle. Is that still a thing? Is that good enough that they battle?
I won't say yes or no on that because I do think we're at a point now in their evolvement, maybe, evolution of this season. Yeah, I realize that. In their evolution.
You're the grammar expert.
Yeah, no, I realize, wait a minute, who said evolvement? Oh, it was me. That I judge them less and less by the outcome of a single game, less and less by whether a series means – regression, or is this the real Royals? They've now shown, I think, a particularly competitive level of baseball to where I don't look at one game and go, make a big judgment. So it does show something that they came back on a night when they had a guy making his second major league start, and he got knocked out in the third inning. But it also shows something that every time they got a run, Toronto got one back, too. And it seemed like every time they get within one, it would be two again. And so that's, to some degree, that's a negative. But yeah, going on the road when your starting pitcher doesn't have it and you have the go-ahead run on base in the ninth inning with two outs. They had first and third and two outs with a chance to tie the game or take the lead with an extra base hit. Certainly not a game you feel bad about.
I like seeing Kyle Isbell hit. Excuse me. I like a couple of home runs. I like the way they battled. I do think clearly, you know, we're not asking the question, are they better than last year? Yes. Yeah. Clearly, obviously they are. But Jonathan Bolin, there was hope and optimism that you could lock and load him. And I tried to temper optimism with the fact that he's 27 years old and has yet to make the big leagues.
Right.
Well, he had Tommy John surgery. Yeah, he had Tommy John surgery when he was 24, right? Like, not when he was.
No.
You know, I mean, this is a long time.
He's going to be. And for pitchers, pitchers are a year. We looked that up, but they're a year ahead of where hitters generally are as far as finding their stride, as far as strikeout guys. And that's he's 2 years after that peak.
Well, 27 is the peak. And after this, you're on your downslope.
Yeah.
So he has thrown collectively about six innings of baseball at the big league level at age 27. Listen, nothing against Jonathan Bolin, but I pointed this out yesterday in preparation for what I thought would happen last night. I mentioned it. You know, I asked Randy on our Kauffman Corner podcast, well, how deep into the game do you think he's going to go? He goes, well, I think he'll go five. I'm like, well, I don't. He's going five in Triple A. Against big league hitters, I don't think he's going that far. To me, I think you were hoping for three and change because he's not going to have the pitch efficiency that he had at the minor leagues at the big league level.
No.
And so, like, this is reality. He's a not ready for primetime player. Frankly, I think he's a reliever at the big league level. And we're seeing the problem is the Royals do not develop enough starting pitching to push guys like him out of the running. Everybody gets drafted, especially when they had more teams. Now, this is a faster track today because they don't have as many minor league teams, but everybody's drafted and they want to start them all, right? They want to give them all a chance to be a starter because starters are hard to find, and if you can develop one, they're more valuable there. So they all get a shot to start, but at some point, somebody else beats them out. As you move up and there's fewer teams, there's not enough spots for you to continue to be a starter, so you get pushed back to the bullpen. The problem, Jonathan Bolin is not the problem. The problem is that before now and before this regime, yes, I know J.J. Piccolo was part of the old regime, but it's not his regime. It's not Brian Sweeney. It's not Paul Hoover. It's not Matt Quatrero. Before that, they could not develop enough starting pitching to force Jonathan Bolin back to the bullpen. That's what has to happen. Daniel Lynch has not been forced to the bullpen or traded in some deal you didn't hear anything about in the minor leagues because he has no place to start. And they don't think he has good enough stuff to be a back-end reliever. Those things haven't happened because they haven't developed and or signed enough starting pitching. Where would we be with Jonathan Bolin if the Royals had signed some Michael Wacha's and Seth Lugo's over the last 6 years? They didn't do it.
Nope.
And it's like we mentioned this yesterday. Dayton Moore forgot that Edinson Volquez was important, that Chris Young was important, that Jeremy Guthrie was important. You know, that going out and getting starting pitching that you didn't develop is, one, not against the rules, two, important to winning games at the big league level, but it also allows you to start putting things together in the minor leagues. Jonathan Bolin, listen, they thought reliever when they drafted him. He was a college draft pick in 2018. He is long overdue, Tommy John or not, for being in the big leagues. And he's just now this year starting to show the signs in AAA of being a guy that you go, at an age where your stuff begins to tick down. And those are the backgrounds we've done on strikeouts for 200 strikeout pitchers. In other words, to being a dominant pitcher, right? If you want to be a dominant pitcher, you're on your way down after the age of 27. And that's tracking that in an era before the strikeout became the thing. And it hasn't been a thing for the Royals. It's becoming a thing with some of their other minor leaguers. But Jonathan Bolin, listen, it's one start. It's a pretty good lineup, some big names over there. Give him every chance to come back and do it better the next time. But also give every chance for him to come out and prove that he's actually a reliever. And that's what we saw last night. 913-3810-810. Come on out and join us. We got a lot coming your way today. Tim Grunhardt, Sam McDowell, Eric Bossy is going to be with us. We're going to talk about the transfer portal. There's been a huge amount of activity. Eric Bossy from 24/7 Sports, the best at tracking who's going where. We'll get his thoughts on how much the local schools have improved themselves or been hurt by the departures, as well as the high school recruiting classes. What can we expect? We talk college athletics every Tuesday here in the program. We're here at Rancho Grande. Come on out and join us. We're in Blue Springs, 501 Northwest Jefferson Street, 501 Northwest Jefferson Street. All locations, all three of them in Rancho Grande are celebrating a little Cinco de Mayo early, taking a dollar off on the Corona family of bottled beers. So enjoy that in Parkville, Liberty, and where we are here in Blue Springs. All right, welcome back. You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio, 810 WHB. Petro Siebel with you. We're on the road at a wonderful location, Rancho Grande, 501 Northwest Jefferson Street, here in Blue Springs. Three locations, all celebrating Cinco de Mayo early, a buck off on the Corona family of bottle beers, Parkville, Liberty, and here in Blue Springs. Now until 6 o'clock, you can take advantage of that. Don't forget they'll have live music at all three Rancho Grande locations for Cinco de Mayo.
Very nice.
Will you be playing in any of the bands?
I will not. I will add three-part harmony to anybody who wants it for throw me a couple tacos. And
you're good?
You got it. You got
okay.
You got the high harmony.
Singer for hire.
Yes.
Will work for tacos.
Will work for tacos.
I like it.
Absolutely.
I like the way you operate.
I work for less.
You can come on down there. Great Mexican food. 17 years here at the baby of the three.
How about that?
Rancho Grandes.
17 years and it's the baby.
Yeah. Parkville, Liberty, and here in Blue Springs. 913-3810-810. Going to the phones here. Royals lose last night, but have some fight, but we're seeing the lack of pitching depth.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Marsh, you know, who would have thought we'd be going, damn, if we can just get Alec Marsh back.
Yeah, then he'd be.
Spring training began, 5.72 career minor league ERA, and he had been outstanding.
Yep.
It's one of the reasons why I give Jonathan Bolin a chance to outperform what has been his career numbers, because they're outperforming Alec Marsh's career minor league numbers.
For a couple of years, we have to think about the organizational difference that's taken place over the last couple of years and see if maybe it may be too late for a lot of those guys to kind of unlearn and find themselves, and once they find themselves, they might be 27 or 28 years old, but I don't think you can necessarily look at what a 27-year-old would have been in this organization 5 years ago, what his future was, and what someone like Jonathan Bolin's future is now because of that change. You don't up it a whole lot, but I think there's reason to at least to give credence to the idea that they could jump further ahead than they could have previously. It was a long way to make that point, but you get what I'm saying.
913-3810-810. Let's go to the phones. Rodney, we left you hanging yesterday. You're in the program. Rodney, what's up?
What's going on, sir?
You, buddy.
I've been typing myself up because I was ready to call out a few of these national analysts that claim they know everything about football and know every single thing about these players that was drafted. I was really wanted to rip them one, but you know what? I'm going to just wait till training camp. But I really want to say, the national analysts, oh, you guys, they're really chess. Every single one of them, just line up in Kansas City and just give you and Curtis their yearly checks. Because it seemed like to me, we listened to you guys the whole week before the draft, and it felt like on they were just stopping what you guys were saying. To me, it's like I can see the flip-flop and what they were saying about certain players, but like, where's the originality? Like, the one thing that I want to point out is I hear a ton of people still harping on Xavier Worthy's weight or how much he weighs. Well, Andy Reid said he's the last one to talk about weight. That means to me, Xavier Worthy can gain weight. We all know he can gain weight. I don't understand how that is a problem. Anybody can gain weight. But I have one thing that just took my little time to do a little research on Xavier Worthy. Did anybody realize that he ran cross country in high school?
No, I did not, but that's a skill, as you know, that Andy Reid, all when they practice, they got to run and run and run all these routes. And so it's not just about speed, it's about durability. Remember Rashi Rice throwing up in minicamp last year, right? Like, they got to run route after route after route, and so that's a skill that'll serve him really well.
And as Steve Smith mentioned, because he ranked him as his number five wide receiver in this draft. And a lot of people said, well, wow, that's way too high for him. He said, I went to his pro day, and this is his word. He said, I went to his pro day and watched him run deep route after deep route after deep route after deep route and just come back to the line of scrimmage and get to take the water, take the drink of water. While he's watching all these other guys, the other position groups, including Adonai Mitchell, gasping for air, drinking a ton of water, but Xavier Worthy was the only one who was not tired. And he sat there and looked at all these other scouts and said, nobody's not noticing this kid is not tired. And so he's constantly running all these deep routes. To me, I want to see, I really feel like Andy Reid has finally met his match. And you have all these veteran guys that say how brutal Andy Reid's training camp is. I think he met his match with Xavier Worthy. I want to see if Andy Reid can really run him down. Can he really get him to be the first coach in his football career to get him to be tired? That's the one thing I wanted to hear you speak on. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Rodney, it's always good hearing from you. Listen, it's an important skill. I mean, Andy Reid would say time and time again, and Tyreek Hill can run all day. I don't know how he does it because he's fueled by gummy bears.
That's right.
Right? Like, everyone remembers the gummy bear part, but people don't remember that line initially was said about Tyreek Hill in reference to the fact that he's not just fast, but he runs all day in practice. And that's one of the things. And again, we heard it with Rashi Rice when he was up chucking on the sideline at minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a trait that will come in very handy. Look, I will say this, Ronnie, though, the size is real, right? I mean, you know, we've talked about the, you know, quarterbacks being able to be picked up and slammed down. You know, you don't get, you know, you're not blindside hit as much at wide receiver. But, you know, I think they've got to be careful and they've got to ask him to protect himself because that speed is important. And, you know, it needs to be on the field. So, look, can he gain weight? Yeah. Can he gain good weight, muscle, that he doesn't lose speed? We don't want him putting on a Petro or Siebel gut.
No.
We want him putting on Tyreek Hill muscle.
Yes.
And that's harder to do.
It is. And I saw a couple, I've seen a couple of clip edits where it shows him catching a pass on the sideline and cutting up field and like challenge and smashing into a tackler and carrying him into the end zone. It's nice that he has the ability to do that on occasion. Defensive backs in the NFL are a little bit bigger than they are on average in college, and you'd like him not to do that very often. I at least see a willingness to take on tacklers, which sometimes you don't see maybe in smaller players. And sometimes you see it a lot because they've heard about the size so often, they get a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, little Jamal Charles type thing. Oh, yeah, I'll show you. But you kind of wanted to find it. Don't take on every guy, young man. Find a spot, get out of bounds, play the next down. You've got the best quarterback who's ever played the game in the huddle next snap.
913-3810-810. Let's go to the phones. Crush, you're in the program. What's up, Crush?
Yeah, I love the Royals calls and the Chiefs draft picks. And, man, I appreciate you talking a little bit about the stadium. That was a really big deal, and I think there's a lot to unpack there. It wasn't really black and white at all. There's a gray area. So I wouldn't mind saying something about that. But you know what? I really like that they're finally going to separate. I'm not sure that there's a lot of other, politically speaking, a lot of other cross-section teams that are associated as far as the vote. So who should I maybe talk about, Chiefs or the Royals?
You pick. Which one do you think is a more significant issue?
I can do both. Yeah, quickly, I'll do both. You know, I think the Chiefs really like where they're at. They can probably get whatever they want right now. So it'd be a good idea for them to make a move. Whatever they want to do, that'd be a good idea. Bros are in a little different context, and really kind of just because they're kind of at the behest of their beautiful stadium. Because the stadium is so beautiful, and it's a great stadium. And so everybody laughs off the concrete cancer thing, obviously, that happened a month before the election. But it's a beautiful stadium. I mean, we can pull up. I mean, even once, and this isn't a slap. This is real. We're talking politics. I mean, we're talking business here. Once a team is out of it, which happens a lot in baseball cities, okay, that happens often by June 1. Like, you're kind of done, man. You got injuries or, you know, I mean, you're done maybe playing the young guys. But June 1, I mean, you're done. Well, we're still going to be shooting bags and barbecuing. And if you went downtown, that's out, you know. I mean, I hope you got a lot of corporate people. So I just feel like I think the Chiefs agree with me that they wouldn't trade Arrowhead for nothing as far as where it's at. But they've got to. They got to buy it. You know what I'm saying? They can do what they want right now. The other team, it's not even so much that it's not a winning club. I really want to concentrate on the fact that our stadium is so nice and we like where it's at. So you guys keep up the good work.
All right, I appreciate it. It is. I will tell you this. If you could pick Kauffman Stadium up, and I think it's one of the things the Royals are going to have to do in selling whoever they're going to ask for public money on, is convince them that they've got a stadium that people want to go to. I don't understand how, but I guess I do. Maybe it's like, you know, a lot of people have speculated, well, they didn't think this was going to pass anyway. So we haven't seen their best foot forward. Okay, well, they need to put it forward, right? Because I don't think people are going to be excited. They were pretty generic renditions. People want, we've got the best sports architecture firms in the world, in Kansas City,
yep.
Right? What they show us should be spectacular. Shouldn't be okay or pretty good. It needs to be iconic, I would think, right? And so I think, you know, Kauffman Stadium is beautiful. People want the fountains,
yeah.
And they want the crown.
Yes, yes.
They want those signature elements. I think there are a lot of people that are willing to move. But I don't know. Listen, they didn't lose by 20% because the renditions were bad. But they lost some of it by that.
Yep.
People didn't see fountains. They didn't see the crown. They want those elements in the new stadium. You've got to figure out a way to do it.
When you heard people talk about why they didn't want them to move, it had nothing to do with the area. It was all about the stadium and how it looked.
Yeah. So, Crush, I think you make a great point. For me, the Royals downtown, KC Moe, seems like a great fit. But if KC Moe and Jackson County don't want to pay for it, you can build baseball stadiums elsewhere. To me, that seems like a great spot to build on the energy, the destination spot that's become. And football works better at a football. I don't know how many football stadiums have great developments around them. You know, well, Lambeau Field. Not that much. I've been there now. I've seen it. Yeah, the houses get turned into Airbnbs, but football you can kind of put wherever because anything you're going to do at a football stadium. The one thing I will tell you about putting a football stadium downtown would be if you could parlay it into convention business. But to parlay it into convention business, you have to have massive amounts of hotel space if you're going to need a dome stadium to be a part of a convention. So I don't see any appetite for building a football stadium downtown as well. So probably where it's at or someplace in Kansas is where they're going to look.
Some comments from Missouri Governor Mike Parsons. He was at a groundbreaking event this morning in KC Moe. Quote, I don't know if it's a question of responding to what Kansas does, but we are going to do everything we can to keep the Royals and Chiefs in the state of Missouri. So the governor of Missouri is on record.
I guess it's settled.
I guess it's settled. Yeah.
And I'll put that under the category of what the hell else do you expect him to say?
Stand down, Kansas.
Yeah.
Mike Parson has spoken.
Yeah. Listen, I think the governor of Missouri absolutely wants to keep him here. Right? I mean, I think that's, we've known that for a while. Yeah. That was the worst kept, that was maybe the only clarity we got out of this plan.
Right.
We want to go now because they know Mike Parsons will back it.
Yeah, he likes to be on stage at the Super Bowl championship trophy ceremonies.
The feeling is that they've got Mike Parsons' support,
yep,
and they will have Kansas or Missouri tax dollars.
Yeah.
Right? So they need to go now. That's the one thing that we did know. And it apparently remains the same even after now Kansas has thrown their hat officially in the ring.
Would love to see like an onion. Missouri Governor Mike Parsons, psh, whatever.
Yeah, right? It's just, you know. But listen, I can't fault him. What do you, he was asked the question,
yeah,
he answered.
Yeah, he was in an event. You know it's, that's going to happen.
He didn't do any saber rattling. We'll do whatever it takes. So, you know, listen, that comment is better than when, you know, the Wall Street Journal comment came out 3 or 4 years ago that, oh, hey, would you look at Kansas if Missouri doesn't work, Mark Donovan? Yeah, we look at all options. We'll match any deal. That was the answer then. Remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Which is just an, like, listen, we know you want them, but it's an irresponsible statement. But yes, he and Frank White at that time said, we'll match any deal. Now Frank White, they apparently can't get to reply to an email. Or Frank White can't get them to reply to his email. I don't really care who's right. But you two little kids got to figure out how to make it work.
Figure it out. Lock you in a room and figure it out.
913-3810-810. Brian, you're in the program. What's up, Brian?
Hey, fans. I think you guys always do a good job. I said a few things about the stadium. I think, you know, Jackson County loves having the Chiefs. And this last vote really got tainted because the Royals were unprepared. They didn't put together a good show. I think you guys pointed out the renderings were bad. And that's really what tanked the deal. The Chiefs shouldn't have hitched their wagon to them. And you kind of just mentioned Frank White. I think his role gets glossed over. Frank White's been putting the pressure on everyday taxpayers and upping their property taxes for years now. And now he wants to appoint himself as the arbiter of what's good for the citizen. So I think those together, there's a lot of nuance to the situation. And I just want to point out that it's disappointing. I think this region had Kansas and Missouri fighting over different businesses crossing the state line, and they ended up calling it the race to the bottom. And I don't want to see that again just over the stadium. I hope that, you know, Frank White comes to his senses and the governor is saying what he said could maybe help him do that. But I know Jackson County loves having the Chiefs.
Well, and you're a Jackson County resident?
Yes, sir. I voted yes this last round.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
I said.
Let me ask you this. If you had a chance to vote two different ways for the exact plans for each stadium, Chiefs plan, Royals plan, and you had to do separate votes, would you have voted yes for both?
I don't know, because the Royals came out with a plan last second. They talked about different sites for weeks, and then at the 11th hour, they wanted to come through with a plan in the Crossroads. It caught people by surprise. They didn't give themselves time to lobby the idea. And there was a knee-jerk reaction because they wanted to railroad it through. Yeah, the Chiefs, you know what? The Chiefs have shown they're going to invest into a team to entertain the fans and give them something to be proud of. You know, I feel like they can have whatever they want.
I think that's
but
a great point.
The Royals haven't done the same.
I think a lot of people, and thank you for the call, Brian, I think a lot of people feel that way about the Chiefs that, hey, the Chiefs are winning. We'll give them whatever they want. Right? There's no doubt.
And
That's a positive climate for the Chiefs.
And had the Royals had to stand on their own with a singular vote, would they have done what they did at the end? Would they have changed the plan, or would they have had that plan earlier? Did they think we can pull this off because people are going to be voting for it because of the Chiefs, and we can get away with it?
And I think a little bit to Brian, like, listen, Curtis said to me, "Hey, I need $50." Oh yeah, really? What's up? I need it right now. Just give it to me. Well.
Hang on.
Back off, right. Ace. But if you're like, hey, I need $50. Okay, yeah, what's I didn't get to the bank. I got to run down. I'll go to the bank tomorrow, but I don't have it. And I got to go pay this guy for, you know, he's bringing by my laundry. And, oh, okay, yeah, here's the $50.
By the way, I got a question to ask you in the break.
Yeah. Point being, if you know what it is you're giving the $50 for,
right?
I'll give you the $50.
Yes.
If it's just like, no, give it to me right now. Well, hang on a second. No, I can't have it right now. Well, then no. Get your own $50.
Yeah. Whose car are we going to take? It was a nice line in that movie, but really was foolish on his part.
913-810-810. More of your phone calls next. We're at Rancho Grande, one of the great Mexican spots. Get to Rancho in anyone of the three today till 6 o'clock in Parkville, Liberty, and where we are in Blue Springs. You can knock a buck off any of the bottles of the Corona beers. Of course, they'll have great specials on the imports all day on Cinco de Mayo. You can take advantage of that. Live music on Cinco de Mayo. Come on by and get some great Mexican food. We're here in Blue Springs, 501 Northwest Jefferson. Stop on by and say hello at Rancho Grande. You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A roster move for the Royals, okay?
Right-handed pitcher Jonathan Bolin has been optioned back to Omaha, and right-handed pitcher Colin Selby has been recalled from Omaha. He will be when he enters the game.
If he enters the game
while he's up here, it's a possibility he doesn't. But if he does, he'll be the 1,000th player in Royals history.
Tomorrow or this week on Chumps, Curtis's question will be, name any one of the 1,000 players who have played for the Royals.
Last time I was at the ballpark, Kurt Nelson and I, he knows all who 100, 200, 300, 400, all the way numbers. And there were some names you're like, oh, wow. Some you're like, what? Who? So I'll have to see if I can get a rundown from him, and maybe we can have some fun with that at some point this week.
That'd be great.
Is it something that's not possible? There's no, I've tried, there's no good search engine that allows you to do that, because you can't do pitching and batting as a singular thing.
913-3810-810. So, Colin
Selby.
Selby.
His only other major league experience was with the Pittsburgh Pirates earlier this year. He is...
We'll see if he ends up being player number 1,000.
26 years old. He's, you know, it's just an arm.
All right, 913-3810-810. Let's go back to the phones. JJ, you're in the program. What's up, JJ?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking the call. I just want to say, like you guys said, it was a tough loss last night for the Royals. Love the way the batters throw, and hey, I'm excited for tonight and for tomorrow too. Got Reagan's on the bump tonight, and got Lugo on the bump tomorrow. Let's go take 2 out of 3 from Toronto and have a 500 World Series. Let's go.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I like it, and I appreciate it, JJ, and I think you're right. That is the beauty of it. Yes, Jonathan Bolin, you know, their depth is being tested with Jonathan Bolin stepping in. They option him out, which we expected. Hopefully that means Alec Marsh is going to be back next time through.
Yeah.
That's not 15 days on the DL anymore. You only got to be out 10. So he could theoretically be back for the next start, but not bad having Cole Reagans come up.
No.
And I know we're all a little spooked because he had a rough outing. Oh, God, is something wrong because of his injury history? But not bad having Cole Reagans next.
It is, and that's the nice thing about having a more lengthy rotation, even though it's not the, you know, 85 Royals, that any one pitcher going down for any length of time doesn't wreck you for a week and a half. You've got some of the guys who can step in, and you can weather the storm until somebody comes back. And right now, they've weathered the storm to this point.
Yeah. You know, it's an entirely different feel for the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I asked that question of Bobby Witt Jr. last week, and he either didn't understand what I was asking or didn't want to go there, but you definitely feel a different vibe in that clubhouse. Even after a loss, they don't seem like it's, well, another one.
It's, yeah, yeah, it's
winning will do that to you.
Well, pitching will do that.
Pitching will, yes, because you know every time you go out there,
you know,
you've got a shot.
I'll quote Denny Matthews, who said it for years. That momentum's as good as your next day's starting pitcher. Well, they have some momentum because the next day's starting pitcher is Cole Reagans. After that, it's Seth Lugo. Like, it's why it's so important. It's why I'll come back to, I think, one of the mistakes. Listen, and Dayton Moore is a Royals Hall of Famer. He won a world championship, won 2 American League pennants, but he kind of forgot his own edict.
Yes.
Pitching is the currency in baseball. It's certainly the backbone, too. And if you don't believe in your starting pitcher the next day or that day, you're going to struggle to perform at your best. So, yeah, listen, I'm optimistic it'll be a lot better. We'll talk some football. Tim Grunhardt has arrived. We're at Rancho Grande. Come on down and enjoy a buck off all the Corona bottle beers at any one of the three Rancho Grandes.
All right, Al Toon is 61 today. Only two players who went to Wisconsin have more career NFL receiving yards. Name either one. Brought to you by Good Sense.